This is the first of 10 original stories for children ages 8 to 12 from my book As Children of Ireland. From the prologue, the sacred vessel fills and brims over continually. As children of Ireland, when great stories come their way, they welcome them warmly as they do the night and day. Welcome them they do as their inherited opportunity to participate in the sublime storytelling traditions of their love to thought into word bring ancestors. Let me here say on this fine first September day, in the 16th year into the 21st century, that to be a child of Ireland is in some way to be a progeny of such stories. Oh, come hither, they be what may. Story one is called From Outside a Dream. It is Friday afternoon, and Principal Declan McGrath and his 29 students, Amy, Brian, Kira, Cormac, Craig, Heather, Laura, Martin and Patrick in fourth class, Anthony, Aoife, Kieran, David, Gerard, Jenny, Julia, Mary and Natalia, Niamh, Sean and Thomas in fifth, Colin, Emily, Fenbar, Hugh, Natasha, Owen, Sophia and Tara in sixth, are about to enter a storytelling session. Teacher, it's almost storytelling time. Okay. Quietly move back the desks, put your mobile phones on silent and into your bags. Come sit here before me on the floor, and away to story so we will go. Yay! Now this story, students, is about a man who was awakened in the middle of the night by a strange sound. It was about 3:30 or 3:45 in the night, a wet winter's night. Everyone was asleep in the village, except for the odd tomcat or two, that were always roaming around at that unearthly hour. He was sleeping away contentedly, so he was, next to his wife, and he was dreaming of a summer's day. At some point during the dream, he heard a sound that wasn't of the dream, but as it were, was coming from outside the dream. He woke up, and he didn't know where he was for a moment. But then he could hear his wife breathing beside him. As he was lying there, looking up at the ceiling and over at the curtains with a little bit of street light coming in above them, he again heard the sound. He looked around, but couldn't see anything. It was an unusual sound. What did it sound like, teacher? It sounded like an oversized Wellington boot, Craig, flapping against your shin as you're trying to walk through tall, wet grass. As he lay there, he again heard it. Not wanting to wake his wife, for she needed her sleep, he very slowly and quietly eased himself out of the bed and went out into the hallway. He didn't turn on the light. Then he stood still at the top of the stairs and listened. He heard it again. From the direction of the sound, he made out that it wasn't coming up from downstairs. It was coming from nearby. He slowly made his way towards his son's bedroom. And there he stood still, listening at the partially open door. But it wasn't coming from there. All he could hear was the sound of his son sleeping. Then he slowly and ever so quietly made his way to his daughter's room. Again he stood still there before the partially opened door. But the sound wasn't coming from there either. All he could hear was the sound of his daughter sleeping. He then looked into the shadows up towards the attic door. But from there he had no sound. As he was about to go back to bed, thinking that he must have been imagining it, didn't he again hear that strange sound? There was only one place left to check, and that was the bathroom. He slowly and ever so quietly went towards the bathroom door with feeling his way along the wall. As he stood there still beside the partially open door, he could hear this Wellington flapping kind of sound. Was he afraid, teacher? Afraid, Jenny? He was terrified. Cold beads of sweat had begun to form on his forehead, and his shoulders were beginning to shake like so. He tried to raise a hand to his forehead to wipe away the sweat, but they seemed stuck to his sides. He could feel his knees were getting weaker, and he was beginning to find it difficult to keep standing. Somehow, he managed to gently put his right hand against the door, and slowly, ever so slowly, he began to push it open. As he was opening it, he could see there was some sort of colorful glow filling the bath. At this point, he was really scared, and he didn't know what to do. Whether it was better to switch on the light or rush back in to wake his wife. Slowly, he entered the bathroom and went and ever so slowly peeped into the bath. He could feel the hairs on the back of his neck stand. And as his view came in over the rim of the bath, like so, he saw therein what had been making that strange flapping sound. There, almost exhausted in the bath, was a fish. Yes, a beautifully colored fish, the likes of which he had never seen before. How big was the fish, teacher? Oh, about this length, about 2 feet, Sean. Wow. Yes, indeed, wow. He couldn't believe his eyes. He had no idea how it had got there. The window was locked, and there is no way it came up the stairs. He himself had been the last person out of the bathroom before he and his wife went to bed. He had definitely closed all of the faucets and had switched off the shower. As he was standing there beside the bath, pondering this, didn't a beautiful fish speak to him? He thought he was hearing things, so he tapped his ears with his hands like this. But still, he was hearing the fish speak to him. What did the fish say, teacher? I am a mother fish of the river beyond, who was suddenly swooped up out of my watery garden and dropped here into your bath. Who swooped you up, fish, from out of your watery garden and dropped you here in our bath? I don't know. It was in the early morning, for golden sun was already moving along on its way. Perhaps it was a fisherman. Fishermen don't suddenly, silently swoop down from out of the sky. Perhaps then, fish, it was a bird of some kind. It was no bird of any kind, for it had no wings. It carried me up over the trees, and before I knew it, I found myself here in your bath. What do you need me to do for you? How can I help you? Please, please, first surround me with some water. The man turned on the cold water faucet in the bath and half filled it. The fish looked a bit better. Kind human, please return me to the river. All right. I will just go and tell my wife and get dressed. The man returned to his bedroom and gently woke his wife and then turned on the bedside lamp. Dear, sorry for waking you. But I need to tell you something. What is it, love? And so the man told his wife how he had been awakened by a strange sound, and that with searching around he had discovered a beautiful fish in their bath. She, being well used to his sincerity, didn't doubt him in the slightest, but got up and slowly went to the bathroom to see the stranded fish.
Oh, you are a beauty, aren't you?
Now don't you worry yourself any further. My husband and I will return you safely to the river. Thank you. Thank you, understanding humans. The man went downstairs and got a large tub, a plastic bath from the kitchen, and brought it upstairs to the bathroom. It was about this size, about a yard in length, and about 15 inches or so in width. There he half filled it with water, and then he and his wife together gently picked up the fish and laid her in the tub. Then, very carefully, they carried a tub with the fish in it downstairs. They put on their coats, hats, gloves, and Wellingtons. Now, seeing that they lived at the edge of the village, and there were as such not far from the river, they decided to carry the tub by hand across the field to the river. It was coming up on dawn, and they could just about see the gently flowing river. They carried the tub with the fish in it down by the bank to a shallow spot. When they were a little ways out, almost up to the tops of their Wellingtons, they decided to gently overturn the tub to allow the fish to safely move on out into the gently flowing waters. But just as they were about to turn it, didn't a man half slip on a flat stone, and before they knew it, hadn't the tub with the fish in it slipped from out of their hands, and was now floating away from them on the waters. They tried to grasp it, but the current was that bit too fast for them. They quickly returned to the bank and ran along it while watching the tub with the fish in it move on along on the waters. They shouted out to the fish, "Fish, fish in the tub! Don't you worry, don't you worry. A way will present itself for you to be back in the river." But they didn't receive any reply from the fish. They wondered, had she fainted or something? As the current meandered along and along with it, they saw up ahead a weir. They were delighted and excited, for definitely the tub would tumble over the weir and the fish would be set free. But do you know what? What, teacher? Things don't always work out the way we think or even imagine they will, Finbar. as the tub was nearing the weir, didn't a cormorant, just at that very moment, rise up out of the water right beneath the tub, causing it to jump the weir and land right side up in the river again, and with the fish still in it. Wow, teacher. And teacher, the cormorant must have hurt his head, mustn't he?
He did, Emily.
But he couldn't fly straight, and he couldn't fly straight for a few seconds, so he couldn't. I banged my head once, teacher, against the frame of a door, and I didn't know where I was for a moment with the stinging pain of it. Do you even know where you are now, Patrick?
Of course I do, Aoife.
Now, as the river was going through a forest, a dark forest which had a lot of undergrowth in it, the man and his wife could no longer follow on along with it, could no longer keep watching the tub with the fish in it, or even talking to the fish. So they stood on the bank and shouted out that they were very sorry that they could not return the fish to the waters. And without receiving any reply, they returned to their house with heavy hearts. Even though the man was the one who had slipped and fallen, and his falling the main reason why the tub had got away from them, his wife didn't blame him for it, for she knew it could have been she who had slipped instead. That is a very important thing to keep in mind, that if, for instance, something happens, don't be so quick to blame someone, but think first rather that it could have been you too who had caused it to happen. We will, teacher. And what happened then to the fish in the tub?
Well, Anthony, the river floated the tub through the dark forest until it emerged out into a lovely valley with the grandest of hills sitting on either side of it.
And the sun was already climbing into the sky. As the tub was coming along, wasn't there a great deer who was supporting a mighty crown of antlers, sipping away contentedly for himself by the water's edge? And as the tub came along, it veered into some rushes. The fish, realizing that the sky was no longer moving on by, began like to sob and cry, and feel that she was never going to get back into her home, into her lovely watery garden. She felt so close to it, yet so far away. The deer, wondering what the sound was, came sauntering along with his great crown in the air, and with reaching the tub in the rushes, lowered his head and peered in and said to the fish, "Fish, what are you doing in such a small lake?"
"It is a long story, Mr. Deer. Can you get me out of this small world and let me return to my wide home? Just one moment, fish." The deer carefully lowered down his great antlers and picked up the tub in them and carried it out of the rushes and laid it on the bank at the water's edge. There he very gently rolled the tub over with his nose, thus allowing the fish to safely wiggle and slide on into the waters. With leaping this way and that way in the water, the fish thanked the great deer for his understanding and kindness. And the deer, feeling very happy to be of help, returned to sipping of the waters.
"Oh, that was a great story, teacher."
"Not so fast, not so fast, Kieran, as it is not yet over."
"Oh?"
"Yes, 1 month to the day after helping return the fish to the river, the man and his wife received a very pleasant surprise in the post. They had won a holiday for a family of four to a land far away. And in their hearts they knew that somehow the beautiful fish had something to do with it. And what about the great deer teacher? Didn't he find a lovely wife, Antony, for himself, that very same morning when he's strolling in the hills? And that, students, is today's story. Thank you, teacher. That was a great story. We will be thinking about it and looking forward to the next one, next week's one. Me too. Safe home now, and give my hello to your parents. Oh, and switch back on the volume on your mobile phones before you leave the school grounds. We will, teacher. Bye. Goodbye.